Welcome to the 2012 Commerce Candidates Forum on your station, 88.9 KETR. And good evening, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. A big thanks to Mark Clayton and the City of Commerce staff for allowing us the opportunity to broadcast tonight's forum from the Council Chambers at City Hall at 1119 Alamo Street. I want to welcome our television audience as well, watching on either Cable Channel 3 or 95, and Rita Crota with the City is handling our cameras this evening. On the radio side, we have Kevin Jeffries coordinating your audio in the back room, Matt Minky running the dials back in the studios. Also keeping time this evening is KETR intern Daniel Starks, and our floor manager is KETR's Cooper Welch. Let's run down the forum rules for this evening. Each council candidate will have 3 minutes for opening remarks and 3 minutes for closing remarks. Questions from myself and the public should be answered in no longer than 2 minutes. We'll also rotate the order of who was asked the question first. With the exception of Sue Davis, we've agreed to give the final comments to her on each question, since she's the only unopposed candidate this evening. After council candidates have answered all their questions from myself, we'll open it up for questions from the public. We do ask that anyone who plans to pose a question is a citizen of Commerce, and that you give your name before stating that question and who that question is aimed to, if it's one council member or the entire group. We also thank our audience, to this evening to hold your applause until the end of our forum this evening. With that said, let's introduce our candidates for tonight. Our two mayoral candidates, Dr. John Bellotti is the director of the Speech Communication major at Texas A&M University Commerce. He's been doing that for 10 years. He is also active in a number of committees at the university. Dr. Bellotti is a member of the Commerce Lions Club and a member of St. Joseph's Parish in Commerce, and most recently was appointed by the Commissioner's Court to the Hunt County Child Protective Services Agency Board. And welcome, Mr. Bellotti.
Thank you, Scott.
Kobe Markham is 33 years old and a part-time employee at Texas A&M University Commerce. His professional background is in sales and marketing. Mr. Markham is currently pursuing a bachelor's degree in business administration at A&M Commerce and has plans to pursue a master's degree in business administration here at the university as well.
Welcome, thank you, Mr. Harvey.
Emma Martin is a Place 2 candidate. She was born in Wolf City to the parents of Emma and Billy T. Harrison. Ms. Martin is a graduate of Norris High School and East Texas State University, and she is the wife of the late Willie E. Ed Martin. Ms. Martin is a mother of 5 and a grandmother of 6, and welcome this evening.
Thank you, Scott.
And Sue Davis, our incumbent for Place 4, unopposed. Ms. Davis was elected to the council in May 2010. She is retired and has resided in the Commerce area since 1966 and has lived in the city since 2005. Ms. Davis has 3 children, all graduates of Commerce ISD, and 2 of the 3 are graduates of East Texas State University. She also has 2 granddaughters. Ms. Davis is secretary of the Kiwanis Club and serves on various other committees in the community. And welcome, Ms. Davis.
Thank you very much, Scott.
And we'll now begin with opening remarks from our candidates. You'll have 3 minutes, and we'll begin with Mr. Bellotti.
Thank you, Scott. And welcome to the audience here tonight in the council chambers and those that are listening on KETR-FM, those members that are viewing tonight on cable channel 3 and channel 95. I want to begin by asking you a question. And the question is this. What is uncertainty? Well, the answer to that question is that uncertainty is not being able to not answer a question. Uncertainty is the number of options that are available to answer the question. Now, how do you resolve uncertainty? It's information. What's information? Knowledge. The more knowledge you've got, the better equipped you are to solve the problem. The better equipped you are to differentiate between the options you have available to select from to solve the problem. My intention tonight, hopefully, as we work our way through this discussion, is to demonstrate for you that there is a difference, observable difference, an unequivocal difference between the candidates for mayor. When we moved here, my wife Erin and I, 10 years ago, I accepted the position as chair or head of the division of speech program at Texas A&M University Commerce, formerly ET, and we purchased a house. And for 10 years, I've been paying property taxes in Commerce. My children have been educated in the Commerce ISD, Aaron works for Commerce ISD. In the 10 years we've been here, we've purchased 4 automobiles from the dealers in Commerce. Those automobiles are maintained by a mechanic in Commerce. Our health and dental well-being is taken care of by doctors and dentists in Commerce. So certainly in the 10 years that I've been here, we can see that I am fully involved in the city of Commerce as a citizen and a consumer. 10 years ago when we got here, I was invited to join the cable TV committee of the city, and I was on that for about 3 years, and it finally dissolved when the cable TV merry-go-round came about, and it was too hard to keep up with rates and programming, so that was dissolved. But more importantly, what happened then, I got an opportunity to meet Louis Bledsoe, who was the director of the Commerce Parks and Recreation Department, and was invited to be a coach. And for 10 years, I've coached youth soccer, softball, and baseball in Commerce. And I see I've got 20 seconds to go. So what I wanted to do tonight is to try to set up for you so that you can understand that there is a difference between candidates. There's a difference between seeing and being observed in a city and actually working in the city, living in the city, and being fully invested in the city.
Thank you, Mr. Bilotti. And Mr. Markham, 3 minutes to open.
Thank you, Mr. Harvey. Hi, everybody. My name is Kobe Markham. I'm very excited to be here before you today. And I'm humbly coming before you as an opportunity to serve our community. And I hope that God and yourselves would choose to bless me with this opportunity. My background is in sales and marketing. And I think that with the economy the way it is here in Commerce presently, we really need somebody who's going to reach out into the community. And I think that one of the most important things that a mayor for a community can do is be the face of the community and be that friendly person that makes that person say, I think that if that's the type of mayor they have, that's the type of city that I would like to live in. And I would like to reach out also to business owners and give them that same impression and be the type of person who answers my phone quickly, returns calls quickly, and customer service is very, very important to me. Customer service not only towards our residents, but also to people that are considering doing business here in Commerce. I have a website. It's kobemarkum.com, C-O-B as in boy, Y-M-A-R-C-U-M.com. I hope to stimulate the economy in Commerce and build relationships between the city and the university. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.
Thank you, Mr. Markham. And 3 minutes for Ms. Martin.
Okay. I came from a family of 12, 7 girls and 5 boys. My parents moved us to Commerce so we could have an education. Thank God every one of us had an education. We got our education, meets Texas State University, most of us. Then I wanted to go away from home, but Mom said, no, go to school here. It was the best thing that could ever happen to me, because I grew up in a city that cared and still care. Unity, growth, and progress, meeting the needs of the people of Commerce. I had to go away to teach school, but I came back, and I taught in Wolf City for 28 years. And then I decided that I wanted to go out and see what was outside there. Things that I was listening to that would make me excited about other cities and other places. It's nothing like home. So I have decided to come back. Commerce is still my home. I still live here in Commerce. I wouldn't move away. I teach in the Metroplex, but I'm at home still. So I want to see growth in Commerce. I want to meet the needs of the people in Commerce. And my vote goes for the betterment of Commerce and the people. So I'm asking for that vote on May 12th, Imogene Martin, Place 2, because I will be that person for you. This city council will be the people for you. It's time for new things to happen in Commerce. We are a unified small city. I would like to see this town become the best little city in Texas. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Martin. I do want to point out for our listeners at home, the other Place 2 candidate, Steve Harrison, is not with us tonight. And Sue Davis, 3 minutes.
Well, I wrote a really good campaign speech, and then it dawned on me I don't have an opponent, so I don't need to campaign that strongly. But I did want to say a few things about what we accomplished this past 2 years. I think we've accomplished so much and have plans in place, good plans in place for the next 2 years that I will go into later as we get through this program. We feel that the city is in good financial shape. We have increases in our taxes from this year, last year to this year, which is a good thing. We have a decrease in our total expense. Also, hydro does come in on the regular tax rolls in 2014, and that will bring an additional $150,000 in addition to what they'll pay this year. The city will annex them in 2013. I just want to share a little bit of information. One of my first trips that I took after I was elected 2 years ago, I went to Roanoke, Texas, to look at their renovation of their main street. They have way more taxable entities than we do. But during my conversation with the mayor, their main street is outstanding. And he said to me, a city will never be able to accomplish good things until the council works together and strives to make their town a better place. Well, we intend to do that this coming 2 years. We have some major hurdles to jump in the process of moving forward. Number one would be COVIDian leaving. If they leave, that's going to be a sixth of our budget. But we've already started preparing for that, downsizing, cross-training employees, and putting a budget loss together by cutting line items and a freeze on filling positions, all except the police and the firemen. The city will continue to work on decreasing their budget in anticipation that COVIDian will close in 2013. In my opinion, we have the finest and most diligent group of employees that could ever be employed by a municipality, and we thank them all. And also a big thanks goes to the Commerce Economic Development Council, which is comprised of Director Bonnie Hunter and the council board. They are working hard with one goal in mind, which is to bring new businesses into our community. The CEDC director and Bonnie Hunter are a huge asset to our community.
Time. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mm-hmm. And let's now move to the Q&A section of our forum for this evening. And our first question, we're going to start with roads. They've been an issue over the past several years, and now the city is prepared to begin year one of a three-year plan, which utilizes $3 million in approved bonds from 2008, another $875,000 from Texas A&M University Commerce, and $940,000 in Texas Water Development Board funds. Based on a street index composed by half engineers, nearly 75% of Commerce streets were found to be in fair or severe condition, fair to severe condition. The street improvement project will focus on Harlow Road and then move on to some streets bordering the university campus, followed by parts of Monroe and Washington streets in the third year. The question, what do you think of the street improvement plan? How does it or does it not address the needs of citizens in your mind? And as a council member, how will you expand upon this three-year plan when it's complete? And we'll start with Ms. Martin.
I think the plan is good. I have been told that it is in place. As far as longevity, I can't say because I have to be there in the next 3 years.
Mr. Bellotti, your thoughts on the road project and if it's good for the citizens and your plans after the three-year project is complete?
Well, I certainly would concur because one of the things that we need to do in this community is to beautify the community and to make it people want to live here. I'm involved with University Search. We're doing two searches in the Mass Media Communication and Theater Division. We're bringing in six candidates, and two of those people we will offer positions to. The university is hiring 60 faculty this year. I would be very pleased if we could get 10 of them to stay in this town. We need to provide something so that when we drive people around, they can be impressed with the town itself. And certainly roads are important. If you're driving on a road that doesn't look like it was constructed in 1877, certainly will help the vehicles and all. So any infrastructure, particularly roads, is important and helps to beautify the city. So I certainly am looking forward to that.
Mr. Markham.
From a campaign point of view, it's easy to say, yes, I support this measure and we should do this immediately. But from a long-term perspective point of view, some of my main concerns are, for an individual that lives in this town, if they are unemployed at this moment, a bright, shiny, yellow brick road does not help them feed their family, and does not help them pay their rent, and does not help them buy groceries. And I think that while it is important to do that, I would like to focus our finances on doing things that will actually generate revenue for the city, which will in turn trickle down towards the roads. But if we have a beautiful city that people have to move out of because they can't find employment, I think that's a serious problem. And so as far as this measure, the details of this measure, I would have to look into. It would take a couple of weeks to study all the numbers in there, so I don't have any fast, easy answers for you. But I am concerned about our city's debt limit, right, our debt level right now, and how we're spending money. And those are my main concerns right now as far as the roads project.
Ms. Davis, your comments on the road project.
Number one, we have not had a street program since 1994. And we feel really fortunate that we have the money to get started on a street program. With A&M giving us nearly $1 million for their share, for Lee Street and the streets that join Lee that come off of Monroe, Stonewall and West Neal, we feel that that was so generous for them to do that, and it has helped us. I've had realtors say, how can we bring professors in, and we will be seeing 60 new professors, as I understand, this year in the university. How can we bring them in if we have roads and streets that are not passable? We have to do something with our streets in order to bring our people in and have the professors live here. That's been our main concern all along. We want the kids to stay here, and we want the teachers to stay here. And that will help our revenue, and it will help our quality of life. That is our main concern, and that's what we're really working towards. Mr. Clayton and Mr. Lunsford and all of their staff have worked diligently to get us to where we are right now in the street program. And I think Harlow, it will be such an asset. And it is the first street to be completed in 2012. So I think that the streets are so important to our town and to Texas, to A&M University at this point. Thank you very much.
Our second question, considering the topic, I'm going to move this question and move on to this question, that was emailed to me. A reminder that our audience will be allowed to ask questions later on this evening. I've summarized the following question that comes from Quay Throgmorton. In December, the city's financial advisors, First Southwest, informed the city that when Covidian closes, it may require a heavy increase in the tax rate, both the debt service and maintenance and operation. That would bring the city's tax rate well above that of other area cities, perhaps costing homeowners hundreds more in property taxes. With the potential for such a high tax rate compared with growing cities like Greenville and Rockwall, how would you encourage potential residents and employers to live and have their business in Commerce? And Mr. Markham.
I think it's a hard sell when you're telling somebody, our taxes are higher, we know they're higher, and you know that they're higher, but you should pay for it anyways, and you should live here. That's a tough sell. But if we ask them to look at the customer service that they receive here and ask them to compare that to other cities, and how quick planning and zoning gets back, how quick their realtor gets back with them, maybe attend a city council meeting, and sell them really on the customer service and the education system that we have here and Commerce. If we encourage their children, if they have children, to attend university here in Commerce, that could help offset the higher tax rate that we have if their child is able to live at home and attend university here. And so I think that's my main focus on that would be to focus on the customer service that they get here in Commerce compared to some of the surrounding cities.
Mr. Bilotti.
Well, I think I would tend to agree to a certain extent with that. There's probably two ways to answer that question, at least two ways. One is to hopefully that we can recruit more businesses to come in and begin to operate to handle some of that tax loss. Also, I would tend to agree with some of what Kobe mentioned. We need to sell the city to these prospective homeowners. The beauty of this city certainly is, and I've lived in a number of university cities in my life, you can certainly get around this town quickly. I essentially can walk to work from where I live, which makes it much better than having to drive 40 miles to work or something like that. So what we need to do is sell the fact that it is economically feasible to live here because it would ultimately be cheaper for you to live here than pay the expenses that it would cost to commute back and forth to wherever you want to live. So there are options that are available, and certainly creating a climate where we have more citizens living here to pay more taxes, then the taxes would be a little bit less. So we need to sell the beauty of the city and the fact that living in a small town does have a lot of benefits.
Ms. Martin, how would you encourage potential residents and employers to live and have their business in Commerce?
I totally agree with Mr. Bilotti. Encouraging, first of all, means we need to get together with the people. We have to encourage people to want and listen to the voices of the people and their concerns, and because Commerce is not a wealthy city. And so, and I certainly hope that there will never have to be taxes raised like right away. We know that there possibly will be sooner or later, but right away. So I think getting revenue, as Mr. Bilotti was saying, into the city, talking with the people, knowing what they want, listening to their concerns, and working together in order to get this job done, or any job done.
And Ms. Davis.
Well, number one, we do not anticipate in the next couple of years to pay for any new debt incurred in the street improvement program. We do not anticipate that. We have three sources on the street program. One is the money that was voted in 2008. Then we have the $900,000 that A&M has been so generous to give us. And then the money from the $940,000 that come from the Texas Water Board. So we do not anticipate raising taxes. We just feel like that we have a good three-year program, and the first year we will do one street. The second year we will do other streets. And by the way, we have the maps and the time frames that we're going to try to do that here in City Hall. If any of the citizens would like to come look at them, we'd really love to show them to you and show you what parts of the city that we're going to be working on. Thank you.
It's a common suggestion that the city and university work together to advance both entities. Texas A&M University Commerce is the second largest employer in Hunt County and eclipsed 11,000 students for the first time in school history last fall. There are several examples of how the city and university have worked together over the past, and several others are in the works. What new advancements could bring both entities, work toward with the help of one another? And start with Mr. Bilotti.
Thank you. It's a good question. I have noted in the past that I do have a relationship with the president of the Texas A&M University Commerce, which is the largest employer in this town. And also Blake Cooper, who is the superintendent of the Commerce ISD. So we have an opportunity to build a relationship there. But more important to the question that you ask, I believe in the six different university cities that I've been involved with, and when my wife and I moved here, we noticed right away that there was not a real good relationship between the university and the city, and the question was why. What we need to look at is some kind of relationship between city businesses and the university students. We have to make the university students feel comfortable staying in Commerce. We have to offer them something that would keep them in Commerce. And part of, I think, the plan that we're trying to implement at the university that will help that is as we have incoming freshmen coming in the fall, and this is being discussed in, through the Faculty Senate, of which I've been a member for 9 years, developing ownership of the university in the incoming students. So when a freshman student comes in, they feel like they are part of the university, not just stopping by and taking classes. However, with the commuter school, it gets to be tough. So in order to try to build a relationship, as I understand your question, we need to get members of the business community in Commerce together with administrators at the Texas A&M University Commerce and develop some kind of a plan so that the two entities can work together as opposed to working apart from each other and hoping something will happen.
Mr. Markham.
Thank you. I think that if we can get some of the money that's coming into Commerce to actually stay in Commerce. The problem right now is Commerce is kind of like a sieve. We have a lot of money that comes and it goes right back out. And no disrespect to Greenville or Sulphur Springs, but that's where students are spending some of their money. And they're spending some of their money in Dallas because we don't have a bowling alley here. We do not have a movie theater here. And I understand that these things take money. But something that I'm very interested in having, not only for the university students, but also for some of the youth in town, would be a 24-hour waffle coffee type place so that students can stay in town and hang out in town. And another thing that I would like to work on is having more restaurants in general because people have to eat. And with some recreational amenities, there are some people who may not like to bowl. And I've looked into the cost of that, and it's pretty expensive. But something like maybe a roller rink or something like that, something that will help keep students in town, give them something to do, facilities where they can shop and buy things. Because ultimately, when you look at the relationship between the city and the university, look at the finances. And when you follow the money, that will lead to helping you see what the relationship between the two entities is. So from an economic point of view, I would like to do that, as well as if we could have a community center where educational majors at the university can interact with some of the youth in town, then I think that will help build long-term relationships between the university and the city.
Ms. Martin, what new advancements could the university and the city work toward with the help of one another?
Hats off to Texas A&M. I think they're doing well. A new advance, the relationship with Commerce and Texas A&M, as far as I'm concerned, is great. Something new, I would like to see a hotel on campus for our parents, as he was saying, but they're doing good. Texas A&M is doing a great job for the city of Commerce. And so therefore, there's not too much more I would ask for. I would like to see them to continue to work with Commerce, and I'm pretty sure they will. But hats off to Texas A&M. They got our back.
And Ms. Davis.
Well, the last 2 years that I've been on council, we've had an excellent working relationship with Texas A&M University. We had a workshop one day, and I told David McKenna, we appreciate you more than you'll ever know, because we could not do as a city without you. And he said, that works both ways. And that is exactly the way it should be. We would like to have to continue a good and long journey with Texas A&M University. They've been good to us. We appreciate so much the money, the $1 million that we received as to help with the streets. But I just feel like that we have to work together, and we will work together. I see no reason why that will not always be the case. We enjoy working with them, and they know any time that we can do anything to help them, we will more than gladly do that.
Next question. There are currently two major lawsuits the city is involved in, and since 2009, the city has been involved in at least one major lawsuit either brought against them or they had filed themselves. One suit seeks more than $50,000 for construction costs to a development site in 2005 owned by Quay and Page Throgmorton. The lawsuit against the mayor has cost the city roughly $60,000. The other lawsuit seeking damages for an alleged illegal dumping incident a few years back has not cost the city anything to date, with the understanding that lawyers won't get paid until the city does. Are you in favor of any of these two lawsuits, and why or why not? And Ms. Martin.
Well, if you're not part of the solution, you're not part of the problem. So I'm going to pass on that question. I'm not familiar with that.
Mr. Marco.
We are not privy to information that is discussed about the dumping, as that is discussed in private quarters by city council, as allowed by law. So I am not privy to that information. As far as the lawsuit regarding the current mayor, I could see how someone would say we should pursue this and spend another $60,000 based on principle. But right now, when you stand on principles with the current financial situation that we have here in Commerce, that pole gets pretty high. And that's a $60,000 pole that we're standing on. So instead of a $50,000 loss, now we're looking at $110,000. And I cannot say that I'm a big fan of those actions. I'm not privy to all of the information involved in that suit. But from an outsider looking in, looking at the financial situation of that, I just don't see how that is in the best financial interest of the city. If you took that $60,000 and put it into a park or in a youth program, I think it would go a lot further than it would to sue somebody.
Mr. Bellotti.
I have my comment on that would be similar with respect to the fact that I have not investigated a great deal of the lawsuits in the city. I was appraised of the fact that once a individual files a bankruptcy claim, that the suit is lost or forgiven and such. Can't arrive at the Capitol. And so maybe it might very well be that the idea of cutting your losses could be acceptable. If you pay attorney fees that reach six figures, and what do you get back? A portion of the money that you're suing, it's coming out to be a loss. So it might very well be that it might be better for the city council and the city to actually add up some numbers, look at it, and see what the cost benefit is or the ratio is to what it's going to cost us to get the money, and maybe just say enough is enough.
And Ms. Davis.
It's a mute point. It's over. We will not be having a lawsuit with Quay and Page Throgmorton. It was something that we felt we needed to pursue with the facts in front of us and with the lawyer's advice, we felt we should pursue it at that point, and we did. But it came to an end. We are satisfied that the lawyer's fees were not any more than what they were. We felt we didn't have the money to do that, but we would pursue it if that's what we felt like we should do. But as far as the lawsuit with the dumping, that is going forward, and it should be a really good thing for Commerce. That is the Ponderosa you're talking about mm-hmm. out on the highway.
Yes.
It will come to trial. It looks like it will. There's been mediation meetings, and they will continue. But if it comes to pass that we find them liable, then it will be of a great help to Commerce, to the City of Commerce. But at this point, we can't talk much more about it. Okay. Thank you.
There have been some public differences among council members, past and present. Some may say that's constructive and others disruptive. What's your take on that, and how would you like this council, this new council, to operate if you are elected? And let's start with Mr. Markham.
I think that discourse between council members in a professional, constructive way is important. I think it's very dangerous for the community to have individuals on city council who will just go along with whatever their friend says, or their cousin or their uncle or what have you, and go along to get along. That does not mean that if somebody agrees with something that it's not okay to agree with them. But I think it's very important that when making decisions, people have reasons why they made that decision. And if they run into somebody when they're walking on the street and somebody says to them, "I have a question for you. Why did you vote this way on this item?" That person should have more to say than, "Well, it just seemed like the right thing to do." I don't think that's a good answer. I think that people should have logical reasons for the decisions that they make. As far as people not getting along on city council, I think that if everybody gets along on everything at all times, that's when you have basically lemmings that can run off a cliff. And so I think that professional, courteous discourse in the event of discussing a decision to be made is wise and prudent.
Mr. Bilotti.
There are three options to any argument between individuals. It's a win-win situation, a lose-lose situation, or a win-lose situation. And obviously, the best solution would be where a negotiation takes place and there's a win-win situation, so both parties feel like they've come away with something. In negotiating those concepts, it certainly is tantamount on of the individuals that are present to that understand each other. And certainly, when you're engaging in this type of discourse, the concept of having five people working together essentially is a small group decision-making entity. What you're after is consensus. When you've got consensus in the organization, then you have success. You may not always have unanimity in the group. Somebody in the group may be dissenting, but that's going to happen. What you're looking for is consensus among the group members so that any business that is taking place, any business that's before the group, can be passed, and we can work towards solving the problems. After all, when we're dealing in small groups, we're dealing with small group decision making, and small group decision making is designed to solve problems. The better the group can get along, obviously, the easier it will be to arrive at solutions. But there will always be somebody at some time that may dissent, and that's okay as well. But obviously, what we're after is at the concluding remarks, we're looking for consensus among the group. I may dissent at some time, but it's better for the group, it's better for the city, it's better for the individuals that if we can reach a consensus, then we've solved the problem that's in front of us.
Ms. Martin.
Well, Scott, I'm not going to be working for a group. I'm working for all people. The concerns of everybody in the city of Commerce, it doesn't matter to me. And as Dr. Bilotti was stating, but for me, it's the purpose is unity and progress. And you cannot have unity and progress anywhere unless you come together as a whole. It takes unification. So I am a people person. I'm here to listen, and I'm here to put that in action.
And Ms. Davis.
Well, I can assure you the last 2 years we've had disagreements. Maybe not confrontations, but disagreements. And it seems like it's all worked. We've made some good decisions in 2 years. We may have made some bad decisions. I don't know. But I can assure you we always had a reason for doing what we did. And we always explained that. When I was running 2 years ago, I said to Scott, I think that cohesiveness in a council is the most important thing you can have. And I still believe that. And I think we had it during this previous 2 years. We had times when it was a little tense, but we always worked through it. And we made good decisions and accomplished a lot. Thank you.
like to ask if you could provide some examples of some positive decisions or ways in which the city has handled issues that you would like to see more of the same moving forward. And Mr. Bilotti.
Well, that's kind of a catch-me-off-guard type of question. I would have liked to have been the second-to-last one to answer, the penultimate respondent for that question. I guess in general terms, the decisions that the City Council has had to make, and I'll probably revert back to the previous question, trying to hold the budget, try to hold the tax line. In other words, the worst thing that cities of citizens of a city want to hear is, well, your taxes are going up. We have to afford this. So the ability of the City Council to hold the line. We have a budget, according to City Manager Clayton, this time of the year, and that's good, and we're working at a surplus in the budget, and so we're working towards that. So I guess to just kind of answer that question, the ability of the council to have this cohesiveness or reach some type of consensus that provides us, we know what it's going to cost us to live in Commerce for the next year or 2 years. And then we can certainly, hopefully, prepare for any changes after that.
Mr. Mark.
I think the thing that I saw that went well with the City Council was when we had a change in parking regulations and the requirements of landlords to provide a set number of parking spaces for those individuals. The way that the process of that being passed was, it was read, concerns were addressed, questions were asked, and then it was passed. And then after it had been passed, Mr. Wilson looked at it, and the attorney looked at it, and they decided to make a modification. They made a modification to make it what it needed to be, and everything went very smoothly. It was not something that was hotly debated, but it was also not something that was treated as passé and not important. It was seen as something that was important. The concerns were discussed, and a decision was made, and they moved on to other business. And I think that's an example of something that I saw that I would like to see more of in City Council, is logical decision making.
And Ms. Martin.
I'm not going to come in on downfalls. What I think was when we elected Sue Davis to council seat. But in the meantime, building this building where the community and the council got together, and we have, if you look around, we have some beautiful buildings in the last 2 years that have come up. So there are a lot of positive things here in the City of Commerce, and that's what I'm hoping that we continue to do, encouraging one another to get involved, to implement new things in the community, and encourage people that we are neighbors still. Yeah, although Commerce is growing, but let people know who we are. We still have a long way to go, but yet at the same time, we can see progress here.
Ms. Davis.
I want to give you an example of the first budget process that I participated in. The city employees had not had a pay raise in 2 years. And we bounced that around for a couple of 3 days. And came up with across the board raise for all employees. That, with some council members, that wasn't really the ideal solution. But the majority of us felt like that the employees needed some help and needed a raise. I got a phone call after that. And also we raised the tax rate. Penny or two. I got a phone call and he said, Sue, I don't mind you raising taxes if we can see improvement in the city. That was their main concern. We intend to spend the money to where people can see the improvement, and that's why we're so excited about the street improvement. But all decisions we make are not popular decisions. But that with the city employees, I think, was one of the best things that we did the last 2 years.
Let's talk more about the budget. The new fiscal year may call for some cuts among city staff. That's due perhaps because of the loss of COVIDian. As a council member, what ideas can you offer during the upcoming budget process, and what is your response to staff cuts if needed? And can we start with you, Ms. Martin?
I'm not going to comment on that.
All right. Mr. Bilotti.
Another one of those questions. Would you repeat it, please?
Yes.
I was kind of was listening, and you said M, and I kind of lost context.
Yes, the upcoming budget process, if you are a part of that, what ideas could you offer during that process, especially if there's maybe possible cuts in terms of staff? What would you offer?
Well, obviously, what we would try to do is find areas that we could perhaps cut that would not affect staff members. If we could find areas in the city that don't involve a great deal of monetary loss to the city, we could make certain cuts that would not involve the loss of job, maybe trying to generate more revenue in other ways. And once again, that's something that members of the committee would have to, or the council would have to look at. What are ways that we have that we could generate some extra income so we don't lose staff? One of the problems, I have not been in the ivory tower academics all my life. I worked in private enterprise for a few years. I was operations manager of a store in Fremont, California. And we went through some pretty severe budget cuts at the time, and loss of jobs and loss of employees. And so I have been involved in that in the past, too. And what you try to do is find ways to absorb the loss of the income so that we can save the jobs that the individuals are working. So the individual is the last one that gets let go. Now, do you want specifics? I, sitting here right now at this moment, can't give it to you because I'm not privy to all the budgetary lines that are available to do that with. But I would say my suggestion would be to find as many ways as we have possible to find opportunities to save money in other areas so we can save positions.
Mr. Markham?
I think that from a campaign point of view, it's never a good thing to say, yes, I would cut jobs. But in reality, I would, because ultimately, we have to do what's best for the children. And there are children in this city who are growing up here. They don't understand what debt is. The word bankruptcy is completely foreign to them. And I would like to see the city run like a business where we have to meet certain financial goals. And if possible, if we have to remember that the people who work in City Hall are here for the residents. The residents are not here for the people who work in City Hall. So ultimately, whatever financial situation we have to do what's best for the residents, regardless of politics or one or two people having to seek employment elsewhere. So to answer your question, if we can stimulate our economy, hopefully we can maintain positions. But if we cannot maintain those positions, I would do my best to do what's best for the city. And if that means letting somebody go to seek employment elsewhere, I would vote to do that.
And Ms. Davis?
There's not a business anywhere that's run any better than City of Commerce. Mr. Clayton and his staff have downsized. They have multitasked. They have cross-trained. They've done everything that seems possible to help us get through this crunch. And we're preparing for the crunch this year with Covidian. And if they decide to stay, it'd be well and good. But as of now, they will be leaving 2013. And as I said previously, that's a sixth of our budget. But Mr. Clayton is doing a magnificent job of taking care of things and trying to keep our heads above water on this. And the extra revenue would be wonderful. And we hope that we can get it. We hope we can get new manufacturing in. I know that CEDC is working diligently to try to help us do that. That would be wonderful. But we will do with what we have and do the best with what we have and be thankful that we have the resources to do that.
I want to now open the floor to any citizens in attendance who wish to ask a council candidate questions or question to the candidates, all of them or one, please approach the podium and state your name. What is your question? Who is it intended for? And do we have anyone in our audience that would like to address the council candidates this evening?
My name is Jim Latham. I don't live in Commerce. I live outside of Commerce, but I'm a county commissioner, and we have a lot of interlocal agreements. We share lots of funds with Commerce. My concern here is your long-term plans. Ms. Martin, are you planning to run for one or more terms than just this one?
If I win, yes.
Ms. Davis?
I'm here for the duration, Mr. Latham.
Dr. Blotty?
Well, as far as I know, there are no term limits at these jobs. So right. I would, when you win a position, you learn. We're except for Sue, Ms. Davis, Councilwoman Davis. I would get there ultimately. we're kind of offering you our suggestions for how we see things to run. I've been in higher education for 25 years, and that's a constant learning process.
And as you can see, it's difficult to get anything done in one term.
Yes.
Mr. Markle?
Yes, it is.
I think it would be hard to accomplish my vision for the city in less than three terms. When I originally looked into doing this, I thought that perhaps, one term would be, I could get a lot done. But when I see, as I dig deeper, and I see how much help the city needs, I think three terms would be a minimum. And that's obviously if the people of Commerce saw fit to put me in this position of serving them. But I think that would be my ideal goal.
My question of you is, then you mentioned to me a few weeks ago that you would like to run for county commissioner when my term is up. That would give you a little over one term. Do you still stand by that?
No, my goal is to serve three terms, and then it would be 2018. That would be, if you finished out this term and then you served another 4 years, I guess that would be it's a four-year term, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Then 2018, if I serve three terms here, if I even get elected, I mean, one day at a time, right? But if that would be my goal, to move on to that, because that position, if I was elected to that position, because it has an income, I would like to take those finances and put those back into the city, particularly into parks and recreation. From what I understand, that position pays about $52,000 a year.
The commissioner?
Yes, sir.
Yes, about
yes.
That,
53. And being a bachelor and a single man with no children, I can live off 25 easy. Ramen, noodles. And so that would be my goal, if I were able to pursue that, to put those finances back into parks and recreation here in the city of Commerce. And I think I would owe it to the city of Commerce if they put their faith in me as to elect me as mayor. I would owe it to them to pay it back to them when I had the financial resources to do so.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Commissioner Latham. And do we have anyone else in our audience today that would like to address the council candidates?
Hi, my name is Diane McDowell. And in light of the comments that have been made tonight about the importance of, I think teachers were mentioned, professors were mentioned, people remaining in the City of Commerce, this is for anyone who'd care to address it. I'd like to know your stance on the issue of filling top city staffing positions with people who do not live in the City of Commerce.
Is that a question for everyone?
It is.
Okay.
Whomever would like to answer.
Can we start with you, Mr. Markham?
I think that when you go back to what I mentioned before about running a city like a business, ultimately you want the best of the best. And if somebody is capable of getting in here within 30 or 35 minutes in the event of an emergency, I have absolutely no problem with having somebody from outside, because I would rather have a grade A professional from wherever they live, as long as it's regional, than be forced to select from a smaller pool of candidates and select someone who, although they may be a good candidate, they may not be the very best candidate. And ultimately, I want what is best for the city and best for the residents outside of the politics of, does this person live within the city limits?
Mr. Bilotti?
Ideally, you'd look for the best candidate. I'm sitting here tonight, and I'm reflecting back on the 1960 debate between John Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, and Vice President Nixon. And the Vice President oftentimes said, well, I concur. And people went, well, why don't you disagree with him? Well, those debates were just a little bit more civil than they have turned out to be lately. But I think the question is well taken. And what we have to look at is that I believe that there are people in this town, because of the university, that are probably capable of handling the positions. What we have to do is recruit them. Recruiting is important. Now, if it comes down to the fact that there is absolutely nobody in the town that is qualified, then obviously you find the people that are most qualified to do the job. After all, running the city is important, Councilwoman Davis has commented on quite a bit. So just to say, well, we're going to hire commerce people only because they're commerce people would be nice. And would I be in favor of that? Yes, as long as we had people that could do the job. And now you're asking me a question to try to quantify do the job. And so in order to be in favor of something like that, we have to look at the position, the people in the town that we could recruit to do the job. And then if there's absolutely no one available, then we have to go outside.
Ms. Martin?
I would have no problem hiring qualified people. I would have to look at the policies, the city policy and the state policy handbook, research it. But I have no problem hiring qualified people.
Ms. Davis?
Well, I concur with Dr. Bilotti. I think that if they live in Commerce, if they're Texas A&M University, if they're qualified and they can work and do the job that we ask them or anyone else ask them in a high staff position, then I think they should be given the opportunity to do that and to see if they are qualified and capable of handling the position that we want to put them in.
Thank you for the question, Ms. McDowell. And do we have any other questions from our audience members tonight?
My name is Carolyn Trezevant, and this is addressed to each candidate. How would you strengthen code enforcement in Commerce?
Start with Ms. Martin.
Workshops, training, teaching them the qualifications and what they need to do, and sticking with it.
Mr. Bly.
As I understand, there are certain the codes are on the books, and one of the items that kind of got me involved in this process involved a error, as I say it, in code enforcement. If you have code on the books, then what we need to find out is where the breakdown is between the enforcers of the code and the code themselves. Why the code isn't being enforced. If it is on the books, then we don't have to come up with something new. What we have to do is enforce what we've got. And so that would require, obviously, I would presume, meetings with the city manager, and that the city manager would take the lead in that and discussing with the people that report to him why code is not being enforced.
Mr. Markham.
I think that code enforcement is something that requires manpower, because when you're dealing with a physical entity, you cannot inspect everything there with a limited staff. And there are some things, especially when dealing with something like that, where you have somebody out in the field traveling, I think that you need more manpower to do that. Another thing is, and I feel comfortable discussing this because it was in the newspaper, we had a gentleman who refused, after multiple citations, to bring his property into what was code. And the person moved away out of town, and they just continued to pay the fines. Not a big deal. $250, not a big deal. I think initially a person should have an opportunity to have a warning, maybe a small fine. But I think at that point, those fines should get pretty aggressive really fast and say, okay, we've given you two strikes. Now we're going to play ball. This third strike, you're not going to like it financially. And we need to start playing a little bit of hardball with that for people that just have a total disregard. If somebody is a regular citizen and they have a small problem and they take care of it, it shouldn't be a problem for them. There should not be a big penalty up front. But if we have somebody who does not take the city code seriously, I would like to be more financially aggressive about remedying that situation.
Ms. Davis.
Well, we do have a chain of command for code enforcement, and we do have rules and regulations. And I think that our city is probably not any different from any other city. There's always places that need code enforcement that people can't get to in 15 minutes. So I think that our staff does the very best they can do. I know that maybe we need workshops for code enforcement. Maybe we need to refresh the rules and regs. Maybe that'd be one thing that we need to look at this next two years. But I think that there's always problems. There's going to be problems. And I think that we can handle them, and maybe we will look at that as time goes on.
Okay, and thank you for the question, Ms. Trezevant. And anyone else in our audience that would like to ask a question of our candidates tonight?
Good evening. My name is Dr. Bob Johnson. I live on Bottom Street here in Commerce. I want you all to know how much I have enjoyed this forum. The one thing I would like for you all to elaborate on is, what is your dream for Commerce? How can we move into the next century by giving more than what we're currently doing? Thank you.
Mr. Blotti, we'll start with you.
Well, we've probably, all of us at one time or another tonight, hinted at what I think Dr. Johnson is referring to. I had somebody ask me at one time what I thought about the campaigning, and I made kind of a little flippant remark that came to my mind. I said, well, the story of Commerce is in her past, the glory of Commerce is in her future. And that what we need to do is to, and virtually everything that you have asked us tonight, the relationship between the university and the businesses in town, keeping the community growing, beautifying the city, fixing the streets, excuse me, all of these items will help, that will draw in citizens. And if you get more citizens in the community, you've got to get citizens that will help make the community feel the ownership in the community. And I think there's one thing that we might also be able to do, and we ought to look into, and that is creating Commerce as a retirement community. If we can get Commerce cited as a retirement community, we get free advertising all over the state. People can come here and this would be noted as a retirement community in all of the magazines that issue that way. So that would also help bring individuals and money here. So as we move into the latter part of the first part of the 21st century, obviously I believe it's growth, and how we're able to handle that growth and bring people in will help move Commerce forward.
Mr. Markham.
I'm very glad that this question was asked. It's one of the few times that I've smiled in this whole thing, because it's exciting to me. And I think one of my number one goals for this is for somebody who lives here or has lived here to be able to say, Commerce changed my life. I think that would be huge. And I would want to reach out to individuals on a one-to-one basis. And if you walked up to somebody in the street and said, excuse me, do you live in Commerce? And they said, yes. And you asked them, why do you live in Commerce? They would have an answer why they chose Commerce over other cities. I know that there seem to be two parties. There's one party that wants Commerce to stay the same, and there's another party, and it's some of the younger people that want to see Commerce grow. And when I see places like Frisco and Denton, and I see all this land around here, no matter how big our hearts are, if you don't have finances, it's difficult to help people. If you have finances and you have a strong economy and people come together and decide to do something like have a community center or have a recreation center or reach out to youth, those require finances. It requires brick and mortar. And my long-term goal for Commerce, if Commerce tripled in size, I think that would be super wonderful, very exciting, provided we are using those economic resources that would be gained from that to make a difference in people's lives.
Ms. Martin.
Well, when I went away to teach school, one of the things that I wanted to do was to teach in Commerce. My daughters, I have three daughters who are educators. And like most of us, we have children and family members who have left Commerce, and they teach or they work somewhere else in the Metroplex, more or less. I would like to see our children coming home, our family members coming home, and having jobs here, basically some of the same jobs, basically some of the same salaries, right here in Commerce. And we can get there. We can get there. It's going to take a long time. But growth, progress, and unity, coming together, all of us coming together in the city of Commerce, putting our concerns and our voices together and saying, this is what we are going to do, and work the hardest, you know, work our butts off, excuse the expression, to get there. Because if they can do it out there, we can do it here. We have many educators here. Look at Texas A&M. Many educators. We have people there, students there who want to graduate, when they graduate, wants to be here. I work with 2,100 students every day. And I guess I'm around about half of those students. I have some students coming to me and say, Ms. Martin, I'm going to Texas A&M. That's where you're from, because on my door, Texas A&M Commerce. I brag about my hometown. I brag about us, the people of Commerce. So that's my dream, is to see us doing better than what we're doing right now, and we can do it. We have many educators here, and we can put our voices and our concerns together, and we can work on it.
Thank you. And Ms. Davis.
I don't know if I understood Kobe to say young people are the ones that have the dreams for Commerce. Well, I can assure anybody I'm far from young. But I do have dreams, and my dream is for downtown Commerce. And I've said that ever since the minute I was elected to the council. And I've looked at main streets, and I've been to a lot of towns to see what we can do about downtown Commerce. We need to work on that to keep people in, to bring people in. We appreciate what's happened down here, but across the street, I think, is so good as to what the city staff has done over here to make it look better and make our city look better. But there's so much that we can do, and that would be my dream, to have the city have a really nice downtown area like Roanoke, which I know they have many more taxable entities than we do. But they worked hard to get it to where it is, and they are so proud of it. And I would like for us to try to improve our downtown area before we go off of city council. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to allow for one more question from the audience, if there is one, and then we'll go to final remarks from our candidates. Is there one more question from the audience? Okay, and we'll move to our closing remarks. And Ms. Martin, I'll start with you. 3 minutes.
Well, if elected, busy, positive, optimistic, and determined. Those are my goals. To help the city of Commerce. Thank you.
Mr. Bellotti.
Part of what we were trying to do here tonight, first of all, I want to thank KETR for giving us the opportunity to have this forum, and the audience here tonight that's shared it with us, and certainly the cable channels. We were invited to come down and try to share our vision of where we want to take the city of Commerce. Sometimes we get we get the devil is in the too much information. We get an overload of, well, we've got money to do this, we've got money to do that, we should do this, we should do that. And this seems to change almost like the weather changes. If you stand outside for 15 minutes, it'll change again. But our vision, my vision certainly, when I was approached to do this, was to try to work on building that relationship that will strengthen the city. And I think that relationship is certainly the relationship between the Texas A&M University and the city. And having been a member of the Faculty Senate at Texas A&M, I'm on the Executive Committee, the Faculty Senate at Texas A&M, I have an opportunity to meet with the leaders at Texas A&M, and we discuss these issues. What can we do to strengthen those bonds, the ties that hopefully should bind? And President Jones is certainly on board with that. So I feel confident that there are things that we can do, that I can do to help the city grow. And I just want to kind of leave you with a thought here. I think I've got a minute or so left. Politicians, teachers, and preachers, that group of people usually is never thought of as not having enough to say. They usually talk too much. There was a minister recently that has had his trouble with his teeth. He went to the dentist and had his teeth removed, and the next week his sermon was 15 minutes long. The following week, his sermon was 30 seconds long, and the following week it was an hour and a half, and that caused some angst. So a parishioner came to him after the last sermon. He said, "How come? 3 weeks ago, 15 minutes. 2 weeks ago, a half an hour. Today, an hour and a half." "Well, the first week I had my mouth operated on. My gums were so sore and they hurt so bad I could barely talk for 15 minutes. The next week I got my teeth fitted and they were just a little bit sore, but I could give the half an hour sermon. And this morning when I got up, I grabbed my wife's false teeth, and I couldn't stop talking."
Mr. Markham, final thoughts.
My name is Kobe Markham. I'm running for the office of mayor for the City of Commerce. My personal inspiration in life is my Savior, Jesus Christ. When he came to earth, all he did was serve people, and I'm a servant. And I'm here to serve the people of Commerce. I would appreciate this opportunity, and I will do my best to serve you with all my heart. In keeping with customer service that I've mentioned earlier, feel free to give me a call. My mobile number is 903-366-2575. My email is markham4commerce@gmail.com, and my website is kobemarkham.com. Please give me a call. Let me know what I can do for you. Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight.
Thank you. And Ms. Davis.
Well, I just want to end this by saying thank you so much for your trust and your support this last 2 years. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Well, nearly every minute of it. There's been minutes that weren't so good. But we have done a lot. We've accomplished a lot. And, excuse me, with I can promise the citizens of Commerce that with our increase in street patrol and our overall citizen safety and improvements, we as a council will try our best to make decisions that will ensure the citizens of Commerce a safe environment in which to live and a quality of life that all of us will enjoy. We've had a good 2 years, and we continue that plan. Thank you very much.
And thank you. And my thanks to the candidates for participating in tonight's Commerce Candidates Forum. Mayoral candidates Dr. John Bellotti, Kobe Markham, thank you so much. Emma Martin, thank you so much. Steve Harrison could not be with us tonight, the other Place 2 candidate. And Sue Davis, the incumbent for Place 4, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
A reminder that early voting for the May 12th election starts Monday. On the evening of the elections, May 12th, after the polls close, KETR will provide election results from this council and mayoral race and from elections throughout our region. Thanks again to everyone who participated tonight, the candidates, our community for attending and asking questions, said some great questions tonight. The City of Commerce for providing the facility Rita Crotel had the camera duties tonight. She did a great job. And floor manager Cooper Welch, timekeeper Daniel Starks. Thank you to you guys. Board operator Matt Minky back in our studios and audio engineer Kevin Jeffries. My name is Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening to the 2012 Commerce Candidates Forum on your station, 88.9 KETR. Have a great night.